Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, the great parable of the Good Samaritan. Let us pray as we consider the word of God. Gracious God, you are with us. Teach us now, instruct our hearts. Teach us of your great love and mercy. And then enable us, empower us to love others, to show mercy to others. Be with your church now. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is the middle of the summer, middle of July. We still have, at least another month before school. But today it is time for a test. Who wants to have a test in the middle of July? The early church crowd was like you, Pat. They were eager. I think they're more awake than you guys are. You all need to come to early church when they're more awake than 10:30 folks. Anyway, we're going to have a test today. In the gospel lesson, you have a lawyer coming to Jesus, and the lawyer wants to test Jesus. But as is often the case, it is Jesus who is testing him. And Jesus also is testing us. He always turns it around. And as I read this gospel lesson, there are three questions to our test. Three questions that are really being asked of the lawyer, and we're all lawyers. We all love the law. We're all legalists when it comes down to it. There are three questions for him, but more so three questions for you and I. Can you pass the test? Three questions, but they're very important. First question is this that Jesus is asking us in this text. Do you fully know the meaning of the Old Testament scriptures? Do you know fully and completely the real meaning and purpose of the Old Testament scriptures? That's the first question of the test. The man comes to Jesus and asks, how can I be saved? How do I inherit eternal life? He's testing Jesus. Jesus asks the question, what's written in the law? Tell me, how do you read it? By law here doesn't mean the Ten Commandments. He means really the whole Old Testament. What's written in the scriptures? The first five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and then the Old Testament in general. How do you read it? What's it say in the Old Testament? How one is saved? And how does the man answer? He answers like most Jews would, many of us probably would too. Well, love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and might, and love my neighbor as myself. There it is. That's how I'm going to inherit eternal life. Loving God, loving my neighbor. That's right from the book of Deuteronomy. Everybody has those verses memorized. Back then we have those verses memorized now. Love God, love your neighbor. And his answer is good, but not great at all. It's correct, Jesus says, but it's not the best answer by any means. Not at all. What is wrong with the guy's answer? What's the purpose of the Old Testament? What's it say in the Old Testament how you're saved? What's wrong with that? Well, this is what's wrong. The purpose of the Old Testament is not primarily to teach us to love God and love our neighbor. That is there, and it's important. But the main purpose, the real meaning of the Old Testament, is to teach us that God loves us with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and God loves us as his neighbor. And he will love us so much that he'll send a Savior to save the whole world and to show his love. Now, that's the full meaning of the Old Testament. It's about the love of God for us, not just our love for him, which is very, 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 very poor. So his answer is incomplete. He should have answered this way. I'll give you a few options. When Jesus asks, how do you read the law? How do you interpret the Old Testament? He should have said, well, Genesis 3:15, it says there the first promise that one will come from Eve who will crush the devil's head and the devil will strike his heel. And the Old Testament is about the coming of that promise, the fulfillment of that promise. God promises a Savior who will crush the devil and defeat evil. That's there. Where is this Messiah? When's he going to come? Then he would have had a better answer. Or he could have quoted Genesis 12. How do I read the Old Testament? Genesis 12 is the promise to Abraham, where God in his love gives a promise to Abraham. I will bless you. I will bless the nation that will come from you. And the Messiah will come from your nation. And the Messiah will be a blessing to the whole earth, meaning that God's going to love the entire world and send a Savior. And the guy could ask, well, where is the Savior? Where's the Messiah? That's what the scriptures teach. Or he could have quoted maybe Psalm 23 that we all like. But Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The whole Old Testament is about how I'm a sheep that stray and stray and stray, but he's my shepherd who loves me and takes care of me. and he's going to send his son to save me. That'd be a better answer. Or one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 103, a portion of that psalm where it says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, patient, abounding in love. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed my transgressions from me." That's the Old Testament. The love of God for wayward people, and in his love he'll send the Messiah. The Old Testament's not just law, law, law. It is gospel, gospel, gospel. Do you know the full meaning of the Old Testament scriptures? It's there to testify of Jesus and his love. Not really a good answer. Didn't really pass the test. And so he's left in a bit of despair, trying to justify himself. I'm going to prove to you I can love my neighbor. I, a few weeks ago, saw the Jackie Robinson movie. Anybody seen 42? Some baseball fans. Bill, no? You're a baseball guy. You have seen it. And I cried a little bit because of what he went through. I know it's just a movie, but I love baseball. And he was the first African-American to play baseball. And it showed the prejudice, the racism against him, and yet how he kept his dignity and honor through all of it. He was a sinner, but he was forgiving and didn't strike back. And as you walked out of the movie, if I were to ask you if you saw it, what's the summary of the movie? Tell me the movie in summary. One could say, well, the movie is about how some people, many people, mistreated Jackie Robinson. They were racist and prejudiced, called him names and everything else. But then a few people treated him nice. That's the movie. Well, not really. It's not a very good summary. The movie is about Jackie Robinson, about how he treated people, how he was forgiving and kind and did his job and tried to love. That's the movie, not how he was treated, but how he treated others. And that's how you should read the scriptures. The scriptures are not really about how we treat God, because we don't love God, we don't love our neighbor, we're all sinners. It's not primarily that, it's about how God treats us. And he's ever so loving and forgiving. Do you know the full meaning of the Old Testament in the Bible? Second question, to go a little bit deeper, do you know the full meaning of the law of loving your neighbor? Do you really know what it means to love your neighbor? The lawyer wants to justify himself. He wants to earn eternal life by showing he can obey the law. Notice how the lawyer doesn't even talk about loving God with all his heart, soul, and mind. That's not even part of the topic. I guess the lawyer just assumes he loves God, which is utter self-righteousness, to assume he can love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he then asks Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Seeking, as the Bible says, to justify himself, because the Jews always put boundaries around loving your neighbor. For a Jew, my neighbor is another Jew. A Gentile is not my neighbor, so I don't have to love him. A Samaritan's not my neighbor, I don't have to love him. I can kill him for that matter. My neighbor's only my fellow Jews who agree with me, and I'll love them, but the others aren't my neighbors, so I don't have to love them. And so they tried to justify themselves by obeying the law. Just love who my neighbor is. And Jesus blows that right out of the water and teaches the full meaning of what it means to love your neighbor. And there's no boundary. First of all, we learn here, what does it mean to love your neighbor? And you who think you can love your neighbor and save yourself, take notice and be warned. It means you love anyone and everyone who has need. We're not told the religion of this guy beaten up on the road. We're not told what religion he is. We're not told his politics. We're not told his race. We're not told his sexual orientation. He's just a guy in need. That's love. Meeting the need. That's love. You care about them. No matter who they are, what they've done, how evil they are, they don't agree with you, you love them. And you love some more. You love anywhere. They're on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. 17-mile trek. It was called the Road of Blood because many people were robbed. This is a probably pretty common story of a guy getting beaten up and robbed. The road didn't have many people. There was no cities on the road, so there wasn't many people except those that were traveling. So it was a barren road, like out in the country, and there were lots of rocks and hills around the road where robbers could hide. You couldn't see them. They could jump out and attack you without expecting it. It was called the Road of Blood. It's very risky for the Samaritan to get down and to help this guy, because he could be robbed too. The point being, you love your neighbor, you love anywhere. You risk everything for him. You'll die for him. Do we really love that way? Or we just love when it's safe and it won't hurt me. It won't cost me much. You love anyone, anywhere, at any time. He's busy. He's traveling like the Levite and priest. Are they a business? So that excuses you from loving because you're busy? I don't have to love because I'm busy. Don't have to serve because I'm busy. He doesn't wait around for the guy to ask for help either. We often do that. Well, they didn't ask for help, so I didn't help. I'm excused. The guy is half dead. He can't cry for help. Don't wait around for someone to cry for help to help. If you see they need help, you just go help. That's love. Nor does he wait around for somebody else to join him. This is a common thing in the church. Well, I will serve if they serve too. If you get other people to help, I'll help out a little bit. The good Samaritans don't wait around for somebody else to help. He just helps. You love anyone, anywhere, anytime, and you love in every way. What stands out is he goes the extra mile. He goes the extra 17 miles for this poor guy. He takes care of his immediate needs. This is love. What's the immediate need right here and now that I can help with? He bandages his wounds. He's bleeding. Got to do that immediately. And then he takes care of his long-term needs. He takes him to the inn and takes care of his future. This is love. Who here loves their neighbor? Raise your hand and stand up. We want to applaud you because you love your neighbor that way. If you think that way, you're an utter hypocrite. None of us loves this way. We might love this way one time in our life, but 24/7, every day of my life, I love people this way? No way. We are the Levite and the priest that have other things to do. Let somebody else take care of that poor person out there. I don't have time. I don't want to get my hands dirty. You want to justify yourself by the law? This is what's required of you. So can you inherit eternal life by loving God and loving your neighbor? Good luck. You'll end up in hell. This guy should be on his knees saying, Lord, thank you for teaching me that I can't justify myself. I can't gain eternal life by myself. I don't love God and I sure don't love my neighbor. Thank you for teaching me. We're not sure how the lawyer reacts because we are the lawyer, you see. We're the lawyer. How are you going to react? How are you going to respond when Jesus teaches this kind of stuff? Do you know the full meaning of the Old Testament? Do you know the full meaning of love thy neighbor? And then last of all, here's the all-important question. Do you know the one, and there's only one, do you know the one who can fulfill the law for you and give you eternal life? Do you know him and do you believe in him? The lawyer should have been asking, who can possibly be the Good Samaritan? This guy is too good. He's too perfect. There's no Good Samaritan out there. Who is this Good Samaritan that does these things? And Jesus would say what? I am he. I'm the one who loves God with all my heart, soul, and mind for you because you can't do it. And I'm the one who loves my neighbors, myself, because you can't do it. I'm the one who fulfills the law perfectly for you, and I'll die for your sins on the cross and rise again to save you totally, all by myself because I love you. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. This story is about Jesus. He's the Good Samaritan. We are the guy beaten up on the side of the road, you see. That's us. We're not the Good Samaritan. We may try, we're not the Good Samaritan. We are the guy beaten up on the side of the road. We're beaten up by the world, by our boss. We're beaten up by disease and sickness and our own sinful flesh. We have self-inflicted wounds because of our sin. And we're lying there half dead on the side of the road. And that's why you come to church. I'm half dead along the side of the road. Lord, help me. Save me. I need help. And oh, he's the one good. Notice there's not two or three Good Samaritans. There's only one. Only one person that can save us and deliver us. Christ is the Good Samaritan who has compassion. He comes to us. The Bible says he went to him. He came from heaven to earth here. That's how far he went to deliver us. He pours on the oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The oil is the wonderful scripture we get to enjoy. The bandaging of the wounds, I think of scripture readings. I will never leave you, forsake you. God's binding up our wounds. Your sins are forgiven. God's binding up our wounds. As far as the east is from the west, so far I've removed your transgressions, you bind up our wounds. All that is the oil of the Spirit. And then the wine of communion, the wine of his blood, he pours out upon us. We drink it today. We're forgiven. We're healed. And then there's more. He takes me to the inn. And the inn is the Christian church. You're in the inn right now. He's taken you here, brought you here. And then you have an innkeeper to care for you until he returns. And the innkeeper is the pastor. I am to care for you until he comes back. And he's paid the entire way. You don't pay anything. He's paid the entire way by his death and resurrection. that we be here. And when he comes back, we go to a much better place than an inn. We go to his house, to heaven. Love, mercy. He's the Good Samaritan. We have a family, many of you know Chris and Amy Froyland. They are moving to Texas soon here. And they had we had a little going away party. Pat was there the other night. And I asked Chris about Texas. What do you know about Texas? And he said, what? It's big. He said, Pastor, you should be there too. You kind of fit in. It's big. Taking a parting shot at the pastor for being big. I said, all right, everything's big in Texas. And what do you think of when you think of Tennessee, for that matter? Orange. And believe it or not, I have to confess, my wife painted our swing set orange this past week. I now have orange cushions on our outside cushions. It's in the backyard, John, so drive by. You don't see it. It wouldn't be in the front yard. Orange, Tennessee, big Texas. What do you think of when you think of Jesus? First word that comes to mind, love. Jesus loves me, this I know. Say it with me, for the Bible tells me so. Do you pass the test? You know the three questions, the answers. Do you really know the full meaning of the Old Testament about God's love? Do you know the full meaning of love thy neighbor? You can't keep it, neither can I. Only he can keep it. And do you know the one who keeps it for us? Do you know the Good Samaritan who saved us and delivered us? Do you trust in him? That's how you're justified. That's how you have eternal life. You trust in the Good Samaritan, Jesus, who's done it all for you. Pass the test. Amen. Let's rise.